You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. We're joined by Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois, to discuss this morning's world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Many changes in the corn and the soybean supply numbers, and we probably ought to talk about wheat too. Let's start with the corn and the changes that took place.
We're looking, most of the changes, Todd, that took place, I think, were driven by the June stocks and acreage reports that came out on June 30th. Those stock numbers as of June 1 were much smaller than the market anticipated. That forced the USDA now to revise upward their expectation of feed and residual use of corn this year by 175 million bushels. That was partially offset by a 50 million bushel decline in expected use for ethanol. But bottom line, they did lower their year-ending stocks projection by 125 million bushels, which takes that under 1.5 billion. That decline is probably a little less than the market expected, but I think USDA is playing it conservative until we see the actual September 1 stocks estimate. The net result was we start next year with 125 million bushels fewer corn than we forecast last month. Because of the smaller acreage number last month, USDA also lowered the production forecast by 125 million. So supply goes down 250 million from last month's projection, dropped their projection of exports by 50 million. But bottom line, inventory of September 1, 2011 is now projected 200 million smaller than a month ago, and that takes that number under 1.4 billion bushels. USDA tacked on 15 cents to their expected price range for the 2010-11 crop year, a midpoint of 385 for that crop.
It doesn't seem high enough to me, it appears, with this short of supply. You come in with a 1.478 now, a 1.373 billion carryout next year. It seems like an awfully tight supply. Sometimes we talk about this, the ag economists talk about it in number of days of available supply at the end of the year, and sometimes 28, 30 days, about a month is what's left around. What does this represent truly?
Well, we're about 10% of annual use is the projected year-ending stocks number. So, you're talking just a bit over a month of total supply expected to be left over at the end of next year. That's relatively tight for corn. But again, when we look at the projected price of $3.85, that's a full 30 cents higher than we're going to average for the 09 crop. So it is a fairly large jump in the average price, although compared to the $4 we've had in 07 and 08, $3.85 looks a little modest with smaller carryover stocks. So this is about in line with where the market is now, but it does suggest that if anything else goes wrong here on the supply side, that there probably is opportunity for this market to go even higher. And we're beginning to hear some talk now about maybe excessive June precipitation did have a bit of a negative impact on production potential. And I think a bit more worrisome is a forecast that last half of July may get really warm over much of the Corn Belt. While pollination may be fairly well completed by then, heat would put a little stress on the crop. we haven't had that for a couple of years. We've had some pretty cool summers the last 2 years. So some excessive heat, I think, would be a bit problematic and might make that 163.5 bushels that USDA is currently using. I think people are beginning to fade that number just a little bit right now. So if that's confirmed with the August production report, then this year-ending stocks projection is going to get even snugger.
Producers have turned fairly bullish to the marketplace. I think friendly probably is not the right term.
I think that really is the case. Last half of June, prices were sliding pretty hard. Everybody got really negative. The USDA June 30 reports really was a game changer. We have a very sharp rally following that. Now as bearish as everybody was 3 weeks ago, they're as bullish now. I think we're seeing December corn push back up towards that $4 mark. I think yesterday we were at $3.96, $3.97. Seems to me that that's kind of in line with our recent high. We may have a little difficulty right now pushing above $4 December corn. But if the market does get really a little bit more worried about production, and at the same time we can hold the demand side of the market together, then you might start talking, okay, let's look at those late winter highs. Where were we before we got that really shocking January production report? And, you know, that's 40, 50 cents above where the market is right now. That seems like a long shot to get back to 4.5 D's corn. I think it would take some stress on the crop, maybe some confirmation that yields are not quite as high as we thought just a month ago.
Now, USDA's average market price tops out at 405, so that tells you 425, 430 probably, December corn, an easier target to get to?
Yeah, at the top end of USDA's range of 405, again, that's a 12-month average. That would say December corn ought to go to the 410 level or so, and then you add the carry into next summer would give you a season's average cash price of this 405 that's at the top end of the range. So, you know, it does say there's, even from USDA's numbers, they're saying 15 cents higher in the market would not be a surprise at this point.
I suppose the point here is caution and temper your bullishness.
I think so. I mean, particularly if you've got old crop corn, 3 weeks ago you thought sub $3, here we come. And now we've had a 50, 60 cent rally. It's approaching mid-July. We ought to be moving old crop corn, at least on this rally. And we're back close to the insurance price on revenue products. Not a bad place to sell a little new crop, I would think, if we didn't do that late winter last year.
Take up the soy complex for me, please.
Again, we see some of the changes in the projections being driven by USDA's June 1 stocks number. That came in a little smaller than expected. USDA now has raised their forecast of current marketing year crush and exports by 5 million bushels each, resulting in a 10 million decline in year-ending stock projection, puts that at 175 million bushels. So, again, this continues the tightness that we see in old crop soybeans. That carries over into next year. We'd have a smaller beginning stocks of soybeans, but because of the increase in acreage reported on June 30th, the production estimate went up 35 million bushels. So the net is they show a 25 million bushel increase in potential supply for next year, but that's completely offset by a 5 million bushel increase in projected crush, 20 million bushel projected increase in exports, but still leaves year-ending stocks at a 360 million bushel, kind of double what we start with. So unlike corn, where we're showing small stocks and tightening stocks, current projections would show an abundance of soybeans for next year.
And did they show global stocks on the increase too? For instance, what are the predictions for South America?
Yes, in fact, we do see some minor increases there. When we look at the total foreign stocks compared to last month, those are jumping not quite a million tons, 800,000 tons, but that is a bit smaller than where we ended, where we're going to start the year in the rest of the world. So we're seeing some building inventories in the U.S., kind of stable to slightly declining stocks in the rest of the world.
Probably accounts for the 810 to 960 range then on the average market price, right, which is higher than it was previously.
Right. The USDA did raise their season's average price projection by 10 cents on each end of the range, but that would put us at 885, still below what we expect to average for the current marketing year. So That lower price projection does reflect some building inventory of soybeans next year.
You think producers ought to be thinking with their soybean supplies? I'm sure that there are some that look out at their soybean crop, and there are some really lousy-looking soybean fields, at least in this part of the world, and they're thinking, boy, this crop is in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the June weather, I think, really did result in some damage to the soybean crop, a lot of ponding, a lot of late weed control in the soybean crop. I think we're getting that under control now so that perhaps things are improving a little bit. But now the concern again is if summer dries out and heats up, and if that does linger into August, I think that would be more of a concern for the soybean crop. So as usual, there's always a lot of uncertainty. We don't know as much as we'd like to know. But having said that, we've had an awfully good rally in the soybean market. New crop bids are now above $9 harvest delivery. That's above USDA's midpoint of expected marketing year average price. Again, not a bad place to make a few sales, I think, given the sharp rally that we've had.
Turn your attention to the wheat market. There have been changes in all the numbers from USDA over these last couple of reports. It's fairly amazing that the numbers have changed this much. Wheat's in the same boat.
Really is. We see a lot of numbers, and those are driven, again, to some extent by the June 30th stocks estimate that showed June 1 inventories about 40 million bushels higher than the market expected. That, in fact, is the estimate of year-ending stocks, marketing year-ending stocks for wheat. So that forced some revisions in consumption estimates for the year that ended May 31st. Primarily, USDA lowered their feed use by 20 million, exports by 20 million, and seed use by 3 million. So that accommodates the 43 million bushel larger June 1 inventory than we thought. That carries over to next year, 973 million bushel beginning stocks. USDA did raise their production estimate. July was the first month that we had kind of a first official spring wheat estimate. That number for all wheat classes, almost 150 million bushels larger than the June projection and identical to the 2009 crop. Here's a curious thing. We planted about 5 million acres less wheat this year. USDA expects we'll harvest only about 2 million acres less than last year, and looking at a record yield of 45.9 bushels per acre. So we cut wheat plantings quite a bit, but we haven't abandoned as much, and we've got awfully good yields. And so we've got a crop just as big as last year following a 5 million acre cut in planting. So that's kind of a major turn of events. USDA, I think, did compensate a bit for that larger crop by raising the export projection 100 million bushels. I think for the most part that reflects declining production prospects in Canada and the Black Sea area, Russia and Kazakhstan. Some really warm weather there is cutting yield prospects. U.S. should get a bigger share of the export market next year. But having said that, year-ending stocks are now projected at almost 1.1 billion bushels. That would be the largest in 23 years for year-ending stocks of wheat, and about 120 million more than we started with this year. So looks like it's a surplus wheat year for the U.S.
Given that, the average market price at $4.87, and that's up from last month.
Yes, USDA did raise their projected marketing year average price, I think primarily because so much of the wheat gets marketed pretty quickly after harvest. And ironically, we've had a very sharp rally in wheat prices right here in the post-harvest period. And if farmers have been marketing, following a typical marketing strategy, they've moved a lot of the wheat crop at these much higher prices. So while the balance sheet looks very negative, it shows a big surplus of wheat. The average price is expected to be about equal to last year and much higher than projected last month, just because of the timing of things.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Daryl Good. He's an ag economist at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.